Today on Movie Wild Arts, we talk about Dolomite Is My Name. It's time for Movie Wallahs. Hi, this is Joe.
Hi, it's Rashmi.
And Yazdi as well.
Movie Wallahs is your weekly dose of film reviews, movie news, and general banter in theatres, on DVD, online streaming, or in the back of an airplane. If you love the movies, this show is for you. Greetings, greeting.
Hello.
Hello.
Just came off our marathon recording of the Joker podcast, which, and normally we would have put these together into one individual podcast, but embargoes and schedules and release dates have kind of futzed with the way we produced and released these last two episodes. So I'm kind of glad in a way because it gave us an hour to talk about Joker. So if you haven't listened to that podcast, do.
Bring snacks.
And thank you. There's no reward for getting to the end of it. But we like to hear ourselves talk. So yes, thank you for...
No, I think we like to talk to each other about movies.
Yeah. This is true. This is the whole
reason. Yazdi and I do. Clearly Joe doesn't, Yazdi.
No, he does. Of course he does.
Because Movie Wallahs makes no money, it could be the only possible motivation we have for doing it. So
that's true. We enjoy it. Imagine that.
So we only have one movie to do again in this podcast, so Dolomite Is My Name. But before we get to that, we should talk about a couple of things. One, I wanted to talk to you guys about was Apple TV Plus. Have you heard about this?
Mm-hmm.
So we talk, and it actually segues into the whole VOD thing. So we talk about so many different options for streaming services, and it's getting kind of messy now. We have Netflix and Amazon, which we've been talking about for a while. We love the choice. You know, there's Hulu, there's HBO. And other companies get into the fray, which is going to fragment things. So I'm kind of scared about where we're going. We're going to have Disney Plus coming soon.
Yeah.
There's only $10 a month. And they have all the Marvel and all of the Star Wars, I think, which makes that a very compelling service. And then...
And all the animation.
All the animations, of course. Yeah. Disney's obviously very well known for that. Then we also have, Apple's getting into the game with
big time.
Service called Apple TV Plus, and they've spent a lot of money on a lot of famous people, celebrities, Jennifer Aniston, Oprah Winfrey, Steven Spielberg, Reese Witherspoon. I mean, it's crazy. They're going to release this in, I think, October or November for like $5 a month. So that will be fascinating.
So it's really just becoming very segmented.
Everyone
like
wants to,
channels, like cable was.
Well, everyone wants to own the space. And I think they're all terrified of one company amassing too much power. And that company right now is Netflix.
Yeah,
and Netflix, I think, would be completely dominant if they had been able to negotiate the kind of deals that they would like to have done. But they, they're a dynamic company. They're kind of rolling with the punches, and you know, they lost the Friends streaming, which was huge for them. They offered many, many millions or hundreds of millions of dollars to keep that. But it's kind of interesting days. So Apple TV Plus is one that I'm interested in because you get a year for it. A year free. So if you buy an Apple device anytime now.
That was Joe's excuse.
I may or may not have upgraded my iPhone, but that's a different podcast.
Yes.
But if you buy an iPod, an iPad, iPhone, a MacBook.
Yes, yes. What happens?
Apple TV. You get a year of Apple TV Plus.
Oh, so like 12 times $5. Yeah, that's a lot
I'll
of money.
It.
Yeah.
I'll take it.
Yeah.
Right. And the idea is that you're obviously going to be so hooked on it.
And then the regular channels are getting into this. So CBS has All Access, on which they have the follow-up to The Good Wife, The Good...
But I thought that was only if you already had a cable subscription. So if you have...
I'm not sure.
If you, you know...
But you have to pay extra for it.
Oh, do you really?
You have to pay extra for it, yeah. And then NBC is coming up with their own, like...
That's going to fail.
Joe proclaims.
Yes.
Off the bat. Yes,
Joe knows.
Yeah, I'm just saying.
Why?
How much would you pay for extra?
I wouldn't
CBS
pay for
content?
Any of this. I'm just paying for Netflix right now.
You pay for Amazon.
Amazon Prime.
Yes. Yeah. Disney.
Apple. You know that Apple show with Steve Carell and Jennifer Aniston and Reese Witherspoon? That's hard to resist. It's about a morning show, morning talk shows.
Yeah.
We'll see.
I'm waiting for Jennifer Aniston to do something good again.
After Friends, yeah. And then they have
Jason Momoa doing this huge movie about...
And then there's one, Mandalorian, something, that is also on Apple TV.
Yeah.
Yeah, too much.
Too much, which doesn't really help us with our next segment. Well, because that's going to get even more confusing. But our segment of I Can't Find Anything to Watch on VOD is where we kind of talk about all of these options. So, we might have to restrict ourselves to picking one or two of the big services, or to heck with it. Let's not be biased. There's too much choice. We can all have access.
Well, if any of these services wants to pay us to exclusively recommend from their portal, then we would be open to that.
We can be bribed.
Yes.
Easily.
There's
very
no shame
easily.
In that. Yes. I'll call Tim Cook and see if he'll...
there you go.
He'll send me a check. All right. So, yes, this is our segment where we try and help you make sense of the world as far as the world of VOD streaming, video on demand streaming is. What is in your guys' queues this week?
So, in a very roundabout way, one of my favorite books ever, and one I would probably take on a desert island is To Kill a Mockingbird. I love that
book. I love that
so much. I mean, that book means more to me probably than any other book. And the film version of that is no slouch either. It stars the wonderful Gregory Peck.
Black and white.
Atticus Finch, black and white. I mean, if there was ever a story to be told about morals and growing up and telling right from wrong and standing up to your convictions,
yes.
It's so relevant right now that Aaron Sorkin rewrote a version of it, which is playing on Broadway. It's the hottest ticket, even more so now than Hamilton. But anyway, the original Gregory Peck movie is streaming live on Amazon Prime. It's beautiful. It's a classic. It's a must. If you haven't seen it, you need to. That's my recommendation. To Kill a Mockingbird.
Excellent choice.
Doesn't get better than that. It just doesn't.
So I was going to do The Little Prince, but I think I've done that before, but there's a little plug for
it. I think Yazdi's done Mockingbird before too. So it's okay, but
I can do another one.
Good repeats.
But I'm going to do Hostiles.
Which was one of my favorite movies of maybe two or three years ago,
and it came right at the end. It came without little fanfare. It got lost in the Oscar mix and time, but it is amazing. And I'm not one for this kind of Americana, you know, cowboys and Indians type genre. It's not really my thing, but this movie got under my skin.
So Scott Cooper, the director of that, is he did another movie, Into the Furnace, from a year or two before. He's quite something as far as his resume. He did
Black
Jeff Bridges
Mass.
One as well, didn't he? With
Crazy Heart,
which I didn't love, but
I didn't like any of those ones that you've
Hostiles.
Mentioned.
Boy, yeah, I watched
Christian Bale, Rosamund Pike.
On the back of an airplane. So this was a movie that you guys had both seen and loved and said, Joe, you're going to have to watch this. And I was like, oh, whatever, you know. I finally got around to watching it a few months ago and haunted me. It's amazing.
I love this movie. Oh, my goodness.
And,
I love this.
You know, we should
it's
tell
not
those,
my flavor. That's why I'm
say,
kind
should,
of...
We should tell those listeners that, you know, if you start watching it and you think, oh, this is a Western, I don't like Westerns.
As
persevere.
Rashmi did.
Yeah.
Because it goes deeper. It's not a standard cowboy Indian type Western.
I think I blubbed the end.
It's very good.
It's so invoking of emotion, many emotions.
Yeah.
Anyway, Hostiles.
Very good pick.
My pick, given that you've both picked movies that I believe you've recommended before, is Holy Original.
Holy Motors.
Yes. When is that playing?
That would not be my pick.
I wonder if that's playing anywhere on any streaming service.
Just for the record, don't ever worry about me selecting Holy Motors.
My objective in life.
My pick is a Netflix original, and it's called The Great Hack.
Yes.
It's a documentary.
Yes, you don't watch this. It will scare you to death.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's a documentary that's obviously going to have some political polarization. I think, you know, people of right-leaning persuasion need not apply because it does talk extensively about the hacking of the American mind as it pertains to the 2016 election and also the Brexit drama. And it goes deep into the topic of Cambridge Analytica and this notion that these companies are able to provide infer much of what pushes all of our buttons, and essentially target us with material that would sway us one way or the other. And they talk about their influence in elections around the world. So not just, you know, Brexit and the 2016 election, but also, you know, countries like Ghana in the Caribbean.
India,
where they have used big data to influence people in ways mm-hmm. that are frightening because it does ultimately undermine democracy. So this is a very unsettling movie in the sense of it portrays powers that are used for nefarious purposes that kind of above the level, and it can really talk about what the power of money can do to undermine a democracy, which, you know, we should all be reminded is, you know, we feel that our democracy is very sacred, and that is it is unshakable. It's one of the foundations upon which Western society is built, and we need to understand how readily, you know, how fragile a house of cards that is, and that we have to fight for it. We can't just sit by and let people corrupt it. So the movie is The Great Hack. It's
brilliant.
It's gripping. It's alarming. It's frightening. It's very well directed.
I can't get it out of my head.
It tells its story incredibly well. It's very dense material-wise, so it's not kind of a sit-down, relaxing kind of evening. But I think it is essential watching. And if you, regardless of your politics, if you can put aside what you think the movie is saying, because the movie isn't saying what you think it's saying. Mm. I think if you are a Republican in your persuasion, you might fall into the trap of saying, oh, well, this is just the left talking about how the election wasn't won fairly or blah, blah, blah. If you're a pro, you know, Brexit person, you might say, oh, these are just people who didn't want to leave the European Union complaining about the fact that they lost the election. It's not that. It's more than that. Just understand that that's not the message that the movie is trying to convey. It's trying to say many, many more things. So that's anything I'll say about that. But powerful viewing. So three movies to choose from this week: To Kill a Mockingbird, Rashmi, you
Hostiles.
Had Hostiles, and I choose The Great Hack. Plenty to watch on VOD. Sit down and stream if you've got nothing better to do. Okay, let's talk then about Dolomite Is My Name. That's our movie of the week. Only one movie to talk about this podcast, and I think, Yazdi, you're going to tell us about it.
Yes, I will. So, Dolomite Is My Name. The two-line summary for that is that in 1970s Los Angeles, struggling comedian Rudy Ray Moore hits it big with his raunchy alter ego Dolomite and then risks it all to take his act to the big screen. So this is a movie set during the late 70s. It deals with this particular character who's down on his luck, wants to be many things. He has done many things before. He's not making it in life. And then finally, he happens upon coming up with an alter ego where he sort of takes humor from the early black experience and kind of repackages it and becomes a big deal in certain circles until he sees the power of cinema and then becomes obsessed to make a movie starring himself. And the second half of the movie is about his efforts as a person who knows nothing about cinema to make a movie. So it is in many ways a movie about movies. And I think it's most notable for the fact that it is, quote unquote, the comeback for Eddie Murphy, who plays the lead character. And the film is directed by Craig Brewer, who previously has directed movies such as he did Hustle and Flow. If you remember that, he did Black Snake Moan. He did the remake of Footloose. He has also directed several episodes of the television series Empire. So the movie has a pretty good cast. It includes, like I said, Eddie Murphy in the lead role. It also includes Wesley Snipes. It has a lot of cameos that I don't want to mention because it's kind of fun to watch those cameos. Let's see. I think that's about all I want to say about this particular movie. It is being released on Netflix, so you can watch it on your big screen TV at home. Dolomite Is My Name. What do you guys think about this?
Well, I kept calling it My Name Is Dolomite.
Me too.
In my notes.
Yeah, I wrote it down too. My Name Is Dolomite, yes.
So, it's the wonderful time of the year because this is when we get all the great movies. So by that intro, you can tell I love this movie. This is so damn groovy right from the outset. And I kept hearing, you know, this is a career best for Eddie Murphy. This is wonderful. And I kept thinking, well, you know, Eddie Murphy's done some really good work, like back in the late 80s, 90s. And does he really need to have a comeback? Does he need to have a career best? Because he's done really good work. Until I watched the movie. And then I was like, my God, this is a career best for Eddie Murphy. And I think it's because, and I believe it's also a career comeback for Craig Brewer, the director.
Craig Brewer, the director, yeah.
Because he hasn't really done much of note either. So I feel like this is a role that's perfectly made for Eddie Murphy, because it, in some ways, it kind of is his life in some ways, although set much earlier in time. Loved this movie, loved everything about it. I can't wait to get my hands on the soundtrack.
Yeah, I mean, I'll start there, Rashmi. I mean, the soundtrack in this movie is there in every scene. It's got the funkiest, grooviest set of music, like, all the way through it. And, you know, some of the characters are involved in you know, they have a band, and they you know, because the movie is about movies, which, you know, Yazdi, I'm sure you'll bring up, because I think that's one of your favorite things about movies, when they're about movies. You know, the soundtrack to the movie of the movie that they're doing is just, it's so funky. And that was noticeable, in spite of the fact that every other moment in this movie is also funky and enjoyable. It's got, you know, a really earnest performance there by Eddie Murphy. This character has so much about him that is, you know, I won't say despicable, but he's not a perfect person, but he has such a good, you know,
ream, good intent.
That kind of, you know, goes right through the center of his being. And Eddie Murphy brings that to the screen. Like, there is something genuinely lovable about everything, every moment in this movie. So, I thought this was fantastic. It was, I mean, it felt like it was 10 minutes long. We sat down. I was like, really? Are we done already? Not in the bad way, but in the, I really wished I'd had more. I enjoyed spending time in its world. I loved its comedy. It was brilliant. So much fun.
This is the opposite of Joker, Yazdi. What did you think? I was being provocative.
Yes. Let's talk about Joker for another hour. This movie is a great, big, warm, comforting hug. I love it. I recommend it to everyone. I think the only thing, the movie has very, very strong dialogue. That's the only reason why I may not recommend somebody, you know, if your kids are less than 10 years old, maybe not.
Very, very R-rated dialogue.
Very R-rated dialogue.
And it is rated R.
Yeah, it is rated. But other than that, I think all you need is genuine affection. This movie has so much genuine affection for this lead character, and it allows the lead character to be flawed. It allows him to be inept. It allows him to be egoistic, but he's entirely lovable. And, you know, Eddie Murphy lives and breathes this character. And, you know, at the end of the movie, you come out feeling like you've had a very satisfying, comforting meal. And you can't say that much these days. Everything, I mean, look at Joker that we talked about. I mean, this is the exact opposite. You can't say, you know, about movies which really, truly comfort you and make you laugh. You know, I was belly laughing towards the end. Like you at the start, it takes a while to get into its groove. But man, once it's in its groove, it's on fire. And it has a genuine sweetness to it. You know, like we said, the second half of the movie is about this group of inept people who are trying to make a movie. And, you know, it's so cute. And, you know, it gives me hope that maybe I can make a movie, you know? And it's, I don't know, there's something right with the world that we have. Dolomite is my name.
Yeah. And I think the cleverness of this movie, right? The smartness of this movie is that it's so efficient. It doesn't waste time on giving us a ton of backstory or unnecessary rags to riches type drama. It's not melodramatic, although it's got a good dramatic arc. It's got a good story. really interesting characters. It's diverse in its ability to bring those characters into a story that all play together, right? They're not your typical Hollywood types, all of them. And I just love how focused it is in just telling a simple story. It's not a simple story, but you come away knowing exactly what you saw. There's no confusion. It's so entertaining. I'm like you, Joe. I was kind of like, I want to watch this one again. I wanted to walk straight back in and have them push the play button again.
And it you can just, do that on Netflix.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Good point, Yazdi. And again, look, I have to say, I would be writing the nomination for Eddie Murphy's performance at this point in time, having seen this.
Yeah, I mean, you use the term career best, and it's kind of hard to remember, you know, Murphy's credentials as an actor, because we all remember the Beverly Hills Cop and
Trading Places.
Trading Places.
I mean, well, he has
Trading
a short
Places
place.
Was like, yeah, you know, not necessarily the most throwaway example, I think. You know, I'm thinking of like the lighter comedies and the, you know, the Nutty Professor and all of that kind of stuff that he did.
The gimmicky stuff.
And you forget just how good he was in something like Trading Places, mm-hmm, because I think that movie, when that movie really does stand the test of time. Rashmi, you put it on TV the other day.
I loved it. Yeah.
We were immediately drawn in, but in many ways, it's the performances there, not just, you know, the movie has messages, but you really buy those characters and what they're going through and how sharp that movie is in many ways because of the performances. And here, Eddie Murphy is as good an actor as I could think of for this kind of role. I mean, he nails it. He's so believable when he's, you know, when there's hurt in his eyes. It's not all dialogue. It's mm-hmm. not all, you know, there are moments in this movie where he is humiliated. There are moments in this movie where he's on his knees. There are moments in this movie where he has to, you know, be compassionate and tender. There are moments in this movie where he's kind of a rogue, you know. So, and all of that, you totally buy in. And so I credit much of my feeling about this movie to that performance.
Yeah, I hate to go back and poop on other movies, but this whole movie is ostensibly about an actor, an artist, a musician, who wants to make it big, right? In a way, it's the typical arc of a biopic. And all those people who loved Bohemian Rhapsody need to immediately sit down in front of this movie and see how you do a movie about an actor. This whole movie is also episodic. It has to be, because it covers a large swath of time in this particular person's life. But even while being episodic, there is a genuine connectivity to it. And there is nothing cheesy about it, even though it's dealing with very cheesy material itself. This person, this character, the Dolomite character, struggles a lot. Life doesn't come easy for him. He has to hustle at every step of his life. And when he makes it big, you believe it. So there's not a shred of ineptness about this movie. I think what carries it through is Eddie Murphy's great performance and, you know, the filmmaker's true affection for this particular character. And that's enough. You know, that's enough. And, you know, you can just tell by, you know, while you're watching this movie, and I hope people do watch this movie, when you look at the cast, that you will see the kind of people who have shown up here, who normally don't show up for movies, because they believe in this movie. They believe in this particular character. Keegan-Michael Key, who works with Jordan Peele is here. Craig Robinson, who's been in so many movies this year. Snoop Dogg is a credited character. Mike Epps, who have we seen in a lot of movies. Titus Burgess, who is on the... He's on the Tina Fey show.
30 Rock.
No, the other one. Anyway. And then Devine Joy Randolph, who plays Lady Reed in this movie.
She's great.
She's amazing in this movie. And
she has a couple of lines. I mean,
she has some great lines. She sings like a bird. She is like, there's a line she says at the end, which I guarantee everybody, if you have a heart, it's going to move you. And, you know, there's a sweetness about her relationship with Dolomite. This movie is special. You owe yourself to watch it.
Yeah, and I kind of feel like it, you know, art imitating life, imitating art in this movie. You just mentioned it, Yazdi, by the people that have shown up to be in this movie. Mm-hmm. I feel like they all wanted to be such a success. You see them striving on the screen, in the screen, to make it big. And I feel like this is not unparalleled to the real lives they're leading. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of that art imitating life, imitating art in here, which I just was rooting for all of them. I'm rooting for this movie to be really big, and I'm also rooting for them as characters in the movie. So it was a weird sensation to watch this unraveling. But I just found it so entertaining.
Did anyone get the kind of meta sense from this movie that this is a blaxploitation movie?
Yes, about a blaxploitation movie. Totally. I mean,
maybe it's then not as meta and as kind of subversive as I was thinking a bit. Because it was like, wow, like the universe and the world and the challenges that this movie
It's also holding the mirror up. Relevant. You know,
is there anything to be said about the fact that this movie is picked up by Netflix and not getting a theatrical, because this is a movie that I think would do very well theatrically. But, you know, is the fact that it's an all black cast, you know, about this kind of topic, a difficult marketing job for the movie? I mean, I knew nothing.
And it talks about that in the movie.
I knew nothing about this movie.
Me neither. It came from nowhere.
Until the credits.
And I think the less people know about it before they go to see it, just you'll have a good time. Just go see it. But
Or watch it on Netflix.
And we talked about this on our last podcast. I don't understand the whole model, but why is Martin Scorsese releasing his next movie on Netflix? Why is Noah Baumbach released? These are not small players, you know. I don't understand it. I'm sure Martin Scorsese, if he releases a movie, can make decent money. But there must be something about the Netflix model which is inherently more profitable. And it just comes down to the dollar signs.
Right? This is the problem, all these things that come out on Netflix.
Yeah.
Right, but there's no advertising. There's little advertising dollars. It feels like. And so I think it's easy for, even if it is a Martin Scorsese movie, to get lost in, you know, why we do the, I can't find anything to watch on VOD, because things get lost.
Because when people log on to Netflix and their page comes up, this movie occupies as much real estate as some other C movie, D movie, you know, 100,000 other movies. How do you know? And if it is a cheeky movie, which is itself following some of the tenets of blaxploitation while doing its homage for blaxploitation movies, that's going to be completely lost unless somebody, you know, shakes them by the shoulder and says, watch this movie. And I think that's our role, to tell people, you know, watch this movie. And as good as Eddie Murphy is here, I think the one person I have never seen being better is Wesley Snipes.
He was great.
I really did not think he had this in him. And Wesley Snipes, I mean, he was around through my childhood, and he's so good here. I mean, I would be the first to put his name down for best supporting actor. He's so good. He's kind of smarmy and blown up and just a little bit vain.
I wouldn't have thought of that until you said it right now, but absolutely. Cause this is a Snipes unlike we've seen Snipes. I mean, this is, in fact, he wouldn't be on my list of like
people to call
third
for
or
that
fourth
role. Right.
Tier lists of people to call to play this character. And yet here he is, and he's enjoyable. He steals every scene.
I didn't think he had it in him. I didn't think he was capable of doing that.
It's very different to how we've seen him in the past.
Yeah.
I don't have much more to say. It was just so good. I can wrap this one up.
Yeah. The only other thing I want to say is Ruthie Carter, who just won an Oscar last year for Black Panther for best costume design. She does the costume design here as well. And the colors are everywhere.
The set and the production and the sound mixing and the editing. Everything
the
is
music.
Fantastic. Yeah. My name is Dolomite, deserves your attention. 8 out of 10.
Yeah, it seems so stingy for me to be also giving it an 8 out of 10, because this movie has such a big heart. And I think these days movies are scared of having a big heart because they'll be seen as lesser or cheesier or I don't know what. Cynicism plays a lot in the world we live in right now. But I wholeheartedly welcome movies which have a great big heart. this movie has a great, great, great big heart. Please go see it on your television, or better yet, in the cinemas. Dolomite is so much fun.
Joe?
I was going to give it an 8 too, but to hell with you guys and your stingy 8. I'm going to give it a 9 just you because should, I think yes. it really rounds out between the three of us. It brings the average up, and I think this is a superior 8 movie, right? You know, there's 8s that we kind of all like a lot, but this is a superior 8. This is one of those that you just kind of got to see. And I don't know of anyone that wouldn't enjoy this movie. You know, it's funny. It has heart. It delivers on everything that we often go to the movies for. And it's, you know, it gets in and out real quick in terms of, you know, it's so efficient the way it progresses the story, right? This could have been a very
so
drawn
focused,
out.
Yeah.
Early
and that's
period.
What I mean. This is why I was comparing it to Bohemian Rhapsody, but just kind of feels so choppy. This is just beautifully
gets right
just,
to the heart of the matter. Yeah. And literally
cuts through all the other stuff.
Every
yeah.
line of dialogue is necessary to advance the story, but does so in a way that really resonates. So I really like this. And yeah, to hell with you guys and your 8. It's a 9.
Well done, Joe.
Thank you. Thank you.
I'm glad. I'll say it again. I'm glad right now we live in a world which has a movie called Dolomite is My Name. Something's right.
And
that's a wrap.
Well, I was going to say, Dolomite is my name, and rating movies highly is my game. All right.
You need to throw in a little few motherfuckers.
Bleep, bleep. Okay. Until our next podcast, let us know what you think of these movies. Too many movies, too little time. Do catch us out there on the Instagrams and the Facebooks and the Twitters. And one other thing, I think if you haven't updated your podcast app lately, you may or may not notice that we do chapter markers now. So
I saw that. Yes, I was surprised.
Back, yeah,
only the only 3 listeners.
I figured out how to do it. So you know, don't feel like you need to jump in and out of your you know, podcast if you can't listen to us all the way through. I'd appreciate that if you do. But if you ever want to go back and think, what are those guys talking about? What was the Netflix movie? So. We do put chapter marks in there now, so
it's great. While we're talking about the Netflix movies, the Netflix movie comes on, the name comes on.
Really?
Yeah, it's quite.
What do you mean, really, Rashmi?
It does. It's okay, quite so amazing.
Clearly, I needed to draw the world's attention to it because not even one of the movie wallers knows about this feature. So.
I didn't know about it until I heard this last podcast. So it must be a recent thing, right?
Yeah, I probably did it for about the last 10 episodes.
Oh,
but
dear. Well, I listen on my
amateurs. I tell you,
really?
I work with amateurs.
I listen on my
exactly. I listen in the car.
Yeah, on my earphones, so I don't distract myself, Joe. I'm just listening.
That's right.
Anywho,
too many movies, too little time. Goodbye from me
and me as well.